Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the editor of the New Books Network. NBN listeners like to read books and buy them. So we thought we'd tell you that right now, our friends at Princeton University Press are having a remarkable site-wide sale. You can get 50% off books, including ebooks and audiobooks, with the code 50, F-I-F-T-Y, at checkout until May 31. You can save some real money on Princeton University Press books. I encourage you to go there and check it out. Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello and welcome back to the New Books in Indian Religions podcast, a podcast channel here on the New Books Network. I'm your host, Dr. Raj Balkorn, and today I have a very special guest to talk about a development, an academic enterprise, a special center in the very special city of Dubrovnik. My guest today is Nada Brouwer Ljubišić, who will talk to you about an organization called the Inter-University Center Dubrovnik. Nada, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure. Some of the listeners may know I just returned not too long ago from Dubrovnik for a conference on the Sanskrit epics and Puranas. And when I had originally, first of all, I didn't plan to go until about a month before. I had done a lot of traveling this year. I thought, you know, I better go and, you know, hear some great papers and present on our volume. And then I thought, okay, I'll just do my duty and go present and then come back and that'll be that. But as soon as I landed, it was more than a work trip. Dubrovnik is a magical place. It's a very special city.
It is a very special city. Of course, due to the fact that it's a very special city, it also became a tourist city, which is fortunate for the economy, but also this has some downside. However, at Inter University Center and also at some other educational institutions, we're also trying to balance this economy and offer something different and something also that may be linked to the history of the ancient Dubrovnik, of the former city republic of Dubrovnik from the Renaissance time towards the modern ages. So, Inter-University Center is not such a new institution. Last year, we have celebrated our 50th anniversary. So the center was established in the early 70s. And of course, it was a completely different time politically. But if we are looking at the situation today, maybe not so different. Basically, IUC, as we call it, abbreviated, is an independent international institution for advanced studies. And formally, we are a network organization. We are a consortium of universities. At the moment, there are 125 different institutions, educational institutions from all around the world that are part of the IUC network. But even bigger is the network of the organizers of our academic programs. What the IUC basically does is we organize conferences as the one you attended, this Sanskrit Epics and Puranas, or in all academic fields. So we organize scientific conferences, courses, workshops, summer schools, different study programs, but they have to be international.
Yeah, I mean, it's really to my mind, a fascinating enterprise. I mean, it's quite an inviting idea. I don't know that I've quite seen a model for it before. So just to clarify for the listeners, this is an inter-university center. It's a center that is affiliated with a number of academic institutions, over 100 worldwide, in a variety of fields. I haven't quite seen a model for this. I mean, are there similar sites in Europe, or is this, can you tell us a bit about the type of organization this is?
I haven't run across a similar institution anywhere, so there isn't a model. Maybe I can tell you a bit how it came to its existence.
I love that. Yeah, sure.
Well, Well, basically, it was 70s, and it was it was a different time, but it was a time of the Cold War and the great divides. And there was this person in Croatia. His name was Ivan Supek, and at that time he was rector of University of Zagreb. He was a physicist, but he was really also a philosopher through Homo Universalis. He was a poet. He was a writer. He was a pacifist. He fought fought against nuclear armament, being a physicist, he noticed that his colleagues coming from natural sciences seemed to speak a universal language. They understood each other. They would write a formula the language of the natural sciences is more universal. But when it came to humanities and social sciences, the discussions were more rooted into politics, into religion, into culture, into the languages. So he thought that the contemporary world, the world that was very much divided, really needs an independent center where scholars from all around the world, from east and west, north and south, could meet and come together and discuss current social issues. He believed that cooperation between universities is of utmost importance, since scientific research has become very complex and, you know, problems of the world are most urgent. So he launched this idea at one meeting of rectors in Montreal in 1970, and his colleagues recognized this as a great idea. But it was very much important that this institution is independent, that it is free from governmental control, that it is run autonomously by its members, which means by participating member institutions. So from the very beginning, the center has been established on these principles. And all through these decades, we have been running pretty much in the same way. Our programs are being generated by the academic community. The governance of the IUC is only supervising that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go astray, that there are no political influences. But pretty much the IUC is a platform for the exchange of idea, for learning about each other and from each other. Dubrovnik as a city was also supposed to be inspirational. And not only because it's a nice city and a magical place, but also because of the history of Dubrovnik. I don't know how much the listeners know. It's a very small city on the Adriatic coast in the Mediterranean. But from the 15th until the beginning of the 19th century, it was an independent city republic that was independent from Venice, which was a huge force in this part of the Europe. It was also it managed to preserve its freedom also from the Ottoman Empire that took away a huge part of the Balkan Peninsula. And this little republic, and you were here, you know, a month ago or so, it's a very, very small territory. It's just, you know, a couple of kilometers, a stretch of a coast. But with the use of diplomacy and with a certain economic strength that they managed to have through the maritime trade, they really managed to be the mediators between Christianity and Islam. They managed to prosper well between much stronger forces. And so, you know, this was really a success story of a very tiny independent city republic. But the founders of the IUC thought that this should also be an inspiration for contemporary scholars to come in one place, to be inspired with its history, and to see how problems of the world can be solved in a peaceful way, how cooperation, how communication can really contribute to build healthier societies for all of us, for the humankind. Also,
Yeah, please continue.
Yeah, and another thing, I mentioned those differences between natural sciences and social sciences. At the very beginning, you know, although the founder had envisioned it as a center for humanities and social sciences, his colleagues actually reminded him that if you really want to tackle any current social issue, then we really need to have the interdisciplinary approach, transdisciplinary approach, that you cannot discuss this without including technologies. And that is true today even more than it was 50 years ago. So from the very beginning, the IUC did include programs in all academic fields, and majority of our programs are interdisciplinary and transdisciplinary.
Fascinating. So what is the process like? I mean, are you looking for additional institutions to join? What would that look like? Presently, who is the center for, or what is the process of joining like?
The center is for professors, students, scientists, scholars, to all that are interested in expanding their knowledge in developing international cooperation. Formally, the basis of the center are our member institutions, like universities. It can also be faculties or departments. So it could be also like legal entities within universities who are interested in developing a specific international program within the IUC. We are a very, very including institution. So even if we have a professor who wishes to organize a new international program at the advanced level with his colleagues from around the world, and his institution is not a member, we would like to also we accept it, and we try to facilitate it. There are some benefits if you're coming from a member institution, which is strengthening the core essence of the IUC. But in principle, we are inviting all members of the academic community to develop new courses or conferences at the IUC. Maybe it would be also useful to know where we are located. The IUC is being hosted by University of Zagreb from the very beginning, and we are working in one historical building. It's a very nice Austrian style building built at the very beginning of the 20th century. It was built as a school. And right now there is like a conference hall with 100 seats, and there are 10 different classrooms of different sizes, some cabinets, computer rooms. And in the attic space, there's also a dormitory with 56 beds. There are some apartments, a coffee shop on the ground floor, and very convenient closed atrium, like an inside courtyard, where participants can just sit on a bench, be connected with their Wi-Fi, and do their work with a coffee, or where they can exchange in a discussion with a colleague. This building is located just 5 minutes away from the historical center of Dubrovnik, and which is also very convenient, at least for those warmer parts of the year. It's also 5 minutes from the local beach, so during a break, participants can easily go and take a short swim, or even if they are engaged in a vivid discussion with a colleague, and this discussion becomes, well, too intense. they can cool themselves in the Adriatic Sea and then come back and continue.
The facilities are lovely. I mean, I was there for the conference, and it's very convenient. I mean, I ended up coming in, and there was, as I said, I decided to come just a month before, and of course it's August in Europe, and so of course everything was taken. But I ended up staying at it's now a Hilton, but it's a very fairly large hotel in
In the
Dubrovnik,
neighborhood.
the Imperial, I think it's called, right?
Oh yeah, that's it's
It's
also
yeah, it's gorgeous, gorgeous. So I stayed there for a couple of days just to land and, you know, enjoy a teeny bit of Dubrovnik before the conference, because I had to fly back right after the conference. It was a 7-day event, and I happily traded in my 5-star hotel for a university dorm because all of my colleagues were there. We all stayed in the dorm, you know.
wow.
We were all, it was sort of like, you know, going back to university, and you know, you have these world experts, I mean, people that you never see, or you only see through email or on Zoom, and then we all stayed on site
Oh.
for the most part, and it was great. So between the dormitory and the facilities and the atrium and the courtyard, it really is, it's obviously conducive to connection and collaboration, which is great. I quite enjoyed it, and I had no idea how close it would be. I mean, Dubrovnik is a relatively small contained space, but it's very close to the old city, and as you say, to the beach. So it really is quite a spot. It's quite a gem, you know. It's sort of like one of the best kept secrets of Europe. I didn't realize.
Oh, well, we need to change that. We cannot keep it a secret.
Yeah, we cannot. We need to. My sense is that for those of you listening, and I understand that there are a number of academics, obviously, who listen to Indian religions and the podcast in general. I imagine also this will be cross-posted to a number of channels. For those of you listening who are thinking of creating an event, a conference, a workshop, some sort of, you know, part of the reason I love doing the podcast is I love bringing people together and exchanging ideas and getting the word out there. And so if you want a beautiful place and lovely accommodations, apparently, even if you're not a member, you can perhaps look to the Inter-University Center in Dubrovnik for an event. I will include the link in the podcast notes. Is there anything else about the center that you wanted to share with us?
Well, there's so many things that I could share. The activities are diverse. In 1 year, we organize approximately 70 different courses and conferences that are in all academic fields. One additional feature of our programs is that, majority of them are really up to date. They are either discussing different social current social issues, or they're dealing with up to date advancements within specific academic fields. Some programs are highly specialized. For example, we have molecular microbiologists that are discussing I don't know, from new antibiotics and the changes in molecules to philosophy of science. For example, philosophy of science is one of the longest standing course series at the IUC, and majority of the programs are such that they are being held year after year, of course, with new subtopics. A number of them also have their own publications. For example, International Studies in the Philosophy of Science is one publication that came out from the Philosophy of Science and that is running even today. Then numerous conferences such as Sanskrit Epics and Puranas, they all have their proceedings. There are a number of publications that really come out of the work of the IUC, although Inter-University Center as an institution is not, we are not publishers ourselves, except some publications that are really about the history of the IUC. throughout the history, things change, but and of course, the IOC is adapting to these changes. As you could see, you know, the best thing about the IOC is that you enable people to get together and to get together physically. And of course, digital technologies today are allowing us to become closer to each other. We all now have our Zooms, our Teams, and all sorts of different platforms through which we are communicating. And that is a huge asset to the society. However, at least our participants are saying that this physical connection is something that you can not so easily, even with the most advanced technologies, you cannot overcome it. If you really want to discuss something in depth, you really need to sit and talk, perhaps be engaged in the same, you know, have dinner together, have a glass of wine together. And despite the fact that we have now been using cameras and we now have participants that due to some reasons cannot come and physically attend, still the biggest asset of the IOC is enabling and allowing people to come together physically. So that's one thing that we would also try to keep in the future, of course, with the help of new technologies. We try to ask our organizers, like, what do you need? How can we facilitate you in your academic needs, in your desires? And many times they told us, don't change anything. But we also try to widen our network, and we try to make our network more usable. For example, we need to work more on the online network management so that, I don't know, Our organizers from United States know what their colleagues in Europe are doing if they want to establish a new collaboration.
Yeah, there's no... So it just happens to be the case that I've been teaching online since 2017. So when the pandemic hit, I was teaching online on Zoom since 2017. So when the pandemic hit, I just got busier. And so I have a completely online career. And having said that, there's no replacement for in-person connection. There really is no replacement, particularly not just the face-to-face connection when you're with a friend, as you say, having a bite or a drink or a coffee or what have you, but also when you're in sort of a, you know, a quasi hermetically sealed space with a number of people and there's so much cross-pollination, just interacting with people in person. You have organized conversations and chance conversations. You know, anyone's experienced the power of a conference or intensive or symposium will be well aware of what I'm talking about. So the technology is great, I think, as a tool, but without question, there's no replacement for the personal touch and meeting in the flesh, so to speak. How did you get involved in the IUC? Tell us a little bit about your journey.
By education, I'm an art historian and I also study comparative literature. However, I'm not working in these two fields, only, you know, with at least not directly. When I finished my studies, I came back to my hometown. Dubrovnik is my hometown, and of course, I was every young person just finishing university. I was looking for a job, and at that time, I got acquainted with the current director general of the IUC, who was also looking for a new person at the IUC, and we met, and later on there was a job interview, and I started working first as an administrative assistant, you know, typing in a list of participants and you're doing all the administrative tasks. And then after a couple of years, I was elected as an executive secretary of Inter-University Center. Well, when you say executive secretary, that means that I'm supposed to organize an office. We are a very, very small team. It's only three of us that are full-time employed at the IUC, and we also have an outside accountant. From time to time, we also have very valuable interns. And I think maybe I can also announce it, because we are always looking for interested interns. And for many of them, the experience at the IUC was a life-changing, because when they came here, they were able to take part in the programs that were of their own interest. They were exposed to the international academic network of people. They met many new friends. They really experienced, you know, coming in one place, but experiencing the world. So sometimes we also welcome interns. But other than organizing different programs at the IUC, I'm also in charge in preparing documents for our executive committee meetings, for the council meetings, communicating with the member institutions, different offices for international collaboration. And also recently, we have been involved with some EU projects within Erasmus Plus, that is a European scheme for different education projects.
Yeah, I have a client. I do some one-on-one coaching of various kinds. He runs an organization in the UK who was receiving a lot of programs from Erasmus Plus. However, thanks to Brexit, that's literally dried up, but I'm familiar with the program. Just out of curiosity, have you noticed trends in terms, you can see just from your website, in terms of the upcoming events, there are a wide array of events from all sorts of fields, from hematology to Jewish studies to philosophy to you name it. Have you noticed any trends in terms of the sorts of disciplines that partake in the IUC?
Well, traditionally, due to the history, 60 or 65% of our programs are coming from social sciences, humanities and social sciences. We have a lot of philosophy, sociology, political sciences, a lot of law programs in different aspects of law, whether it's criminal law, criminology. Recently, obviously, a lot of these law programs have been discussing very up-to-date issues with the war in Ukraine. But as one trend that I have been noticing recently is that we have an uprise in the programs in the field of physics and in the field of technology, especially related to the use of either new material or energy issues, renewable energy, ecological aspects of for example, petroleum engineering summer school is dealing a lot with ecology in the use of the gas and petrol. A lot of our program are also concerned with climate change. Some programs recently are also interested in the development of artificial intelligence and how that is going to influence not only our academic lives and how we are going to adapt to it, but also about the way how we learn and accept things.
Fascinating. Certainly a comfortable and rich center, and I hope that there are listeners out there who will take advantage of the opportunity to use it if they are looking for a spot an international hub in a beautiful city. Is there anything else about the center that you wanted to touch on for today?
Well, I would like to invite everyone who is interested. You know, it's the only requirement is that the program is at the advanced academic level, that it has to be international. Organizers should be from at least two different countries. Lecturers should be from at least three different countries, as well as students and participants. And it is advisable that is from as diverse number of countries and continents as possible. Some of the things that the RUC also as an institution is trying to achieve is to offer an additional support for the region of the Southeast Europe. Because I know that the listeners from the United States, everything is close. You know, when you're looking at Europe from United States, it's a very small space. However, here we really notice that the academic the colleagues coming from the Western Balkan countries or from the countries of Southeast Europe that are not yet members of the EU, they have more difficulties to get connected with their colleagues from Europe and from the world. And since the world is coming to the RUC in Dubrovnik, which is actually located exactly there, we really think that it is important to enable students and professors from these countries to come here and to take part in our academic programs. Of course, that sometimes also needs financial support. In the past, we had a long-lasting support from the Open Society Foundation that offered grants to participants from Southeast European countries that are not yet members of the EU, because it is considered that, you know, people, students from the EU always have some alternative. They can apply for this Erasmus Plus grant, and they have opportunities to be mobile, to do a semester abroad. However, countries like, I don't know, Montenegro, Serbia, or Bosnia and Herzegovina, Kosovo, Albania, they are still not members. They are accession countries. So they don't have this possibility. And since we no longer have the support from Open Society Foundation, we are continuing to build RUC Southeast European Scholarship Fund, and with this fund we offer grants to PhD students from these countries taking part in our programs in humanities and social sciences. So we are also inviting those who would like to support this grant to enable students to come. They can find it on our webpage. And also students and staff from this area to apply for that. And recently, thanks to the generosity of Professor Marian Damaška, who is from Yale, but originally from Croatia. He's a professor of law. He also established Maria and Mirjan Damaška Fund. And with this fund, he also supports participants coming from the Southeast European region and those countries that are affected with war instabilities or instabilities and aggression. And that is for the RUC programs in human rights and atrocity crime prevention. So we are, you know, we are trying to be as inclusive as possible. And of course, that sometimes depends on funding. But when a funding is an issue, then we try to find a way you can always find a way. So these two funds are also something that the IOC is maintaining. And we're also grateful that Croatian Ministry of Science and Education is offering scholarships for Croatian participants taking part in our programs. And many different national foundations also offer scholarships. For example, German DAAD offers support for their participants coming in. And we are grateful to all of them. We are quite aware that you know, the IUC as an institution is managing with support from all different sides and angles. And of course, most grateful to University of Zagreb for securing the logistical infrastructure and the basis for our operation.
Fascinating. That's all of the links are in the podcast notes for those interested. Thank you very much for appearing on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
For those listening, we have, of course, been speaking about the Inter-University Center in Dubrovnik, a really fascinating and, to my mind, forward-thinking institution that aims to unite nations in advanced academic enterprise. I mean, I don't know, that sounds delightful to me. It's not for everybody, but that's sort of where I live. So until next time, keep well, keep listening. Check out the center if you're all interested and keep contemplating perhaps the power of collaboration across borders. Take care.